Hello, welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltari, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. If you're new, welcome. And if you're returning, welcome back. We are now knee deep in our exploration of Les Filles du Roi. I've been doing this series for a little while now. I do have other videos that I've done on travel and on genealogy per se. I have a look at those if that interests you. And we definitely are going to be pursuing all 700 of these Filles du Roi. We'll eventually get to yours. Most people have more than one. If there's one in particular you'd like me to feature, please, please write me a line, either in the comments below on my Facebook page, Twitter, or at Lisa at Have Roots Will Travel. My website is haveRootsWillTravel.com, and I'd love to hear from you. And we will definitely explore your Filles du Roi as her turn comes. Actually, this series has been largely inspired by the number of people who have written me and asked me to do their particular Filles du Roi. It started off as just me doing my own little thing on my 40 plus Filles du Roi. Most of us have that many, or if not more. And then it turned into this whole project. So it's kind of interesting. So thanks for coming along with me as we explore another Filles du Roi. Those of you who are new to the channel, I want to let you know that we have a Filles du Roi, the program 2.0, in which we describe the program, how it began, why it began. I would urge you to have a look at Les Filles du Roi, the program 2.0. That'll give you kind of a bird's eye view of what your ancestor would have gone through. Let's find out who is our Filles du Roi of this week. This week's Filles du Roi is Marguerite Moitié. Who's actually part of a two-part series that I'm doing with her sister, Catherine, that we'll do in the next episode. She is of your request, which I'm delighted to do. And just for those of you who are English-speaking, I just want to make sure, moitié means half, actually, is the name of her, the definition of her name, which is interesting, of course. So let's get to know Marguerite a little bit better. So Marguerite was born about 1648, and the location of her birth was Saint Barthélemy Parish in La Rochelle, France. The picture on your left is the church where she would have been baptized. We're back in La Rochelle, France again. That's a big, big place for many of the Filles du Roi. And her parents were Jacques Moitié and Françoise Langevin. Just want to give you a little bit of bird's eye view about Jacques. Jacques was actually a woolen manufacturer. He was a court officer and a royal sergeant at arms, if you will. So absolutely came from the upper middle to upper middle class in that sense. So let's have a look and let's talk about La Rochelle if this is your first visit. La Rochelle was founded during the 10th century and became an important harbor in the 12th century. Until the 15th century, La Rochelle was to be the largest French harbor on the Atlantic coast, dealing mainly in wine, salt, and cheese. And I always say the same thing, the good stuff. The name was first recorded in 961 as Rupella, from a Latin diminutive meaning little rock. La Rochelle has one of the richest histories of all the towns of France, from its beginnings as an area where the Knights of Templar had their strongest base. Eleanor of Aquitaine married Henry Plantagenet in 1152, who ultimately became King of England in 1154, so 2 years later. He became Henry II. So this meant that La Rochelle would now become under English rule, hence beginning the whole Protestant immigration and all of that occurred based on English rule. By 1224, Louis VIII captured it in the siege of La Rochelle. And during the British control of the city, King Henry actually had a castle built, the Vauclair Castle, some of which is still visible in La Place de Verdun, which I just absolutely have to go and see. From 1568, La Rochelle became truly a center for the Huguenots, the Protestant, French Protestants. So this is kind of where they congregated. And it was in La Rochelle that the Protestant revolts occurred and created the uprising that would become known as the Siege of La Rochelle throughout the 1600s. The Huguenots were expelled from La Rochelle. Just want to point out that even if you don't have, or some of you may have New York descendancy, and some of these Huguenots would have gone on to form the city of New Rochelle in New York. So it's kind of interesting. Their influence can be felt throughout North America, certainly in New France, but certainly in New York as well. So really be on the lookout when you see that kind of immigration pattern around that time from La Rochelle. Make sure that that is, or not make sure, but investigate and find out perhaps if they were part of that expulsion. After her parents' death, Marguerite and her sister Catherine embarked on Phoenix de Flessange and arrived in Quebec City on June 30th, 1663, which was the very first ship carrying these filles du roi. She brought with her a dowry worth of about 300 pounds. The groom she selected and who selected her, his name was Joseph Elie Gauthier, and he was from the Notre Dame parish of Celles-sur-Belle in France. His parents were Samuel Gauthier and Hilaire Courlatier. That's a name. He arrived in New France sometime before 1660, as he was confirmed here on February 2nd, 1660. He also bought land on Ile d'Orléans. And he was actually engaged to another lady, but unfortunately it was annulled. We don't know why. We don't know if she died or anything, or returned to France, so, or even became a nun. It would take another 3 years until Joseph found the woman who would be his wife. On October 24th, 1663, Marguerite and Joseph Elie were married at Chateau Richer. We've talked so much about Ile d'Orléans, but it bears repeating because so many people come from that area. Ile d'Orléans is located in the St. Lawrence River, about 3 miles east of downtown Quebec City. The island was one of the very first parts of the province to be colonized by the French, and a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of this island. The island has actually been described as a microcosm of traditional Quebec and as the birthplace of Francophones in North America. Officials, it was named different things, like Grande Ile, Sainte-Marie, Saint-Laurent, in different periods, but eventually the name was changed to Ile d'Orléans in honor of the second son of King Francis I, who he was the Duke of Orleans, Henri II, and so that's how it got its name. Now, it's important to know that the island is subdivided into, you know, six different sections. When you're researching your family, you need to know what part of the island they come from. It's that defined. I also draw your attention to the bottom two photographs that were sent to me by dear friends of mine, just to illustrate, you know, that it really is a place caught in time, and very green, as you can see, a truly beautiful, beautiful place to visit, which is number one on my bucket list, because I have not been. Now, we have the 1666 census. We have Elie Gauthier, who is 40, and here we have his wife, Marguerite, who's 18. That's where we really see the, you know, this discrepancy of the ages, which is not uncommon at that time. And their first son, Joseph Gauthier, who was 2 years of age. Let's have a look at how their family grew. Marguerite and Joseph would have 12 children in total. Their firstborn, Joseph, died at 20 years of age without any descendancy. Marguerite married Jean de Breuil and had 6 children, 5 of whom made it to adulthood. Louise married Louis Greffard and had 3 children, 2 of whom made it to adulthood. And then she married Pierre Avard, had 4 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Marie married Denis Charlin and had 6 children, 4 of whom made it to adulthood. Guillaume died at 11. Marianne married Jean Osé and had 3 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. She then married Jacques Lessard and had 2 children, both of whom made it to adulthood. They married Catherine Tournois and had six children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Jacques married Marie Tourneroche and had three children, all of whom made it to adulthood. Francois apparently died young and died at a very young age. And Elizabeth died at 6 months. Their last child, Geneviève, married Jean Vermet and had eight children, three of whom made it to adulthood. A very tragic occurrence. Sometime in 1694, Marguerite was attacked by a man named Pierre Paris. Some sources have said that it led to a paralysis for Marguerite. In 1696, the case was brought before the Prévôt de Québec, but we do not have any information on that. Very, very tragic. Joseph would pass away on the 9th of December, 1700, and he is buried at Saint-Famille on the island of Orleans. Marguerite would follow him almost exactly 6 months later on June 8th, 1701. The legacy of this family lives on. They have a beautiful Famille Gaultier d'Amérique. As you can tell, there's many Gaultier lines. This is actually, as I write this, or as I tape this, this is going on next month in 2022. But obviously the website and all of that will give you more up-to-date information. So have a look at that if this is your descendancy. And the final tribute of all is this beautiful monument at Île-d'Orléans, in which Joseph Gaultier and Marguerite Moitié are listed as the pioneers of the Île-d'Orléans. Don't forget, they were there, you know, in 1663, they were married. So they were really there at the very beginnings of Île-d'Orléans. And they would go on in that, you know, that famous study of 1729, they had 152 descendants. So this is a line that would probably many of you would have as a great grandparents. So please let me know in the comments below if this is your lineage, because that is always exciting for people to find out, wow, this is mine. Very, very amazing couple. They endured, you know, obviously the tragic events of Margaret being attacked and kind of passed away, you know, about 6 or 7 years after that. So it must have been very tough that the end, and I don't know the circumstances of what occurred, but violence is violence, and it occurred in the 1600s like it occurs now. We definitely know that they were very strong couple. That much, you know, really and truly, they were married in 1663, so that would have meant that they almost would have made it to 40 years married if they hadn't, but they passed away to almost, you know, 6 months apart. So you can really sense that they were a couple very much together, if you will. So I always like to, I've started to do this where I'm giving you some more resources. La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan, very important website. And obviously a lineage society where you can join if this is your descendancy. If you have a fille du roi or a soldier, you can get a beautiful certificate. Have a look at that. And you don't have to join to get some information on that website. So have a look at that. I've posted the link for you as well. Another resource that I've discovered recently is a wonderful Facebook group, if that's what you do. Les Filles du Roi Descendants, fabulous group that really focuses in on this particular part of Quebec history. And then, of course, one of the resources I use is a site called Migration. It should really be called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Filles du Roi and the ships and everything. It's just marvelous. So I would absolutely recommend them. And I've listed the web addresses for all the above. All right. And with that, I leave you. We have now done episode number 67. We will be approaching number 68, which will be the second part of our series on the Moitié sisters. Until I see you, au revoir.